I'm Johnny Bravo. Today, you're going under the musical influence of today's guest, Brian Gifford, on Under the Influence with DJ Johnny Bravo. Brian, tell me a little bit about your musical self.
Hey, thanks for having me. I am Brian Gifford, also known as Brian T of the infamous Brian T and Johnny Lee Productions, and now Snag a DJ. Man, what a privilege and my pleasure to be under the influence. For me, music started back in the second grade. We'll touch on that later on in the show. I was your 80s backseat of the bus DJ with mixtapes. And in the 90s, I was the one who had the descending tower of speakers in my bedroom and the mixtapes for the car, and affiliated with a little bit of radio, did some skating rink stuff. Went on to do some mobile work, touched in some clubs everywhere from, well, the East Coast to the West Coast.
Brian and I go way back. Brian T and Johnny Lee, that was our first little foray into DJing. It went a little bit like this, I think. I had the music, Brian had the equipment, and then I said, if you get cards printed up, we'll do the deal. And I thought you would never get cards printed up. Then what happened with that?
Exactly. Went on, got some cards, showed up at school one day. I'm like, dude, let's check these cards out. And he's like, sweet. And we just went off from there. What did we do, homecoming or prom that year?
It was like the after prom or at the YMCA, I think we had. And we had like a couple pool parties. And
we were big time because we got hired to actually do a DJ gig. The lady that hired us actually invited us to be her daughter's date. We were all pimped out in tuxedos and she got a limousine. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was like Fairfield Middle School eighth grade dance. We had a bunch of good times running around. I think we had half of your mom's equipment, half of my mom's equipment, tapes, CDs. I don't know if we ever had any vinyl. You played like 8 songs a minute over at the skating rink. I remember that. It's like I was like, is he ever going to play like a full song? It's like 8 songs a minute. You were just mixing your heart out, man. So much since when we started. But Brian T and Johnny Lee Productions. So Brian's still out there DJing, Snag a DJ out in Ohio. He's no longer in VA. He's no longer in Virginia. He's in Ohio. Look Brian up, Snag a DJ. But your DJ company is actually called something different, right?
The home company is DJ Connections. Snagadj.com actually takes you to the DJ Connections page.
Yeah, so that's like, so if you're in Ohio, check him out or give him some parties, give him some weddings,
give him some love.
All right, so that's a little bit about his musical self. We'll get into question number two. When did you discover music? Like, how old were you? What were you doing? Where were you? That kind of thing.
All right, so this is what shaped me into music. So picture this. Second grade, Galleon Elementary School. Can't even think of the name of the school. But actually, they've torn the building down since then. It's been that long ago. Second grade, gift exchange. All I can remember was my gift exchange partner was this pretty little girl. I actually had a crush on her. She got me a Michael Jackson's PYT 45 vinyl. And I can't tell you what was on the backside of it. I don't even remember. I don't even think I played that song on the backside. It was PYT over and over and over. So while the kids were roller skating around the cafeteria, here I am up on the stage playing on the school's record player, a 45 of Michael Jackson's PYT, watching the kids roller skate. So my musical experience actually started in the second grade.
To be a fly on the wall in second grade, to see those big collars and the bell bottoms, I'm sure. So you were skating at school with the PYT just over and over again?
Yeah. So I'm sure the school had their own set of 45s, but I do distinctly remember playing that gift exchange 45 of Michael Jackson's PYT to the kids while they were roller skating around the cafeteria.
Yep. Oh, man, if you only had 7 more 45s, you could have had like a whole song in a minute like you used to do over at the skating rink. What was that? Skate Land? It was Skate Land out in Mechanicsville, wasn't it, that we were at?
Yeah. Oh, man, I remember that place.
Skate Land.
That was a really good time, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had a good time out there. All right, well, we'll head on to question number three, Brian. What was the first song you remember?
Well, other than the Michael Jackson's PYT, my first distinct memory of my personal collection was Michael Jackson's Thriller album. I thought that was the end all albums. Beat It, for me, was the first song that I think comes to my mind, and then Thriller, obviously Billie Jean, but that entire album for me was my first memory of where my love of music came from, Michael Jackson.
Man, Michael Jackson, and you had to do that lean on the cover, or you just weren't going to sell any records, but Thriller, gosh, that was like a big time seller back in the day. I don't think people realize how big that album truly was and how long that album like ran up the charts with all those singles.
Over my lifetime, I bought that album 4 times.
Yeah, I mean, that album, I think, is still, I think it charted, you know, a few years ago when MJ died. That album just is epitome of anything. Quincy Jones, Michael Jackson, man, that's Beat It, you know, Thriller. You can't do a Halloween show without playing Thriller.
Absolutely not. I have a wedding coming up, actually. It's Halloween themed, and the their song is Michael Jackson's Thriller that they want the wedding party to dance to. So, yeah. It happens every year.
Yeah, just to go all zombified and do the Thriller, that would just, that's the epitome of any show, any dance party that we've, I think we've ever done. The last wedding I do, you know, I don't do as many weddings as I used to. I mean, you're hogging them all, even though you're in Ohio. The last one I did, I think I put on Thriller at the end of the night, and I had all of the people that were cleaning up had stopped cleaning, and they were doing, you know, the Thriller. It was pretty hilarious. So that song always gets them going, whether it's the end of the night or the beginning or in the middle, especially on Halloween. You got to play that one on Halloween.
You got to. It's a successful party if you're not playing Thriller.
That's right. That's right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. So hang on. All right, we are back. I'm Johnny Bravo. You're going under the musical influence of today's guest, Brian Gifford, on Under the Influence with DJ Johnny Bravo. All right, Brian, let's talk about girlfriends. We might take the rest of the show on this one because I've known you for a long time. Have you had that long distance dedication or that first couple? I always hear a song and always send it to you. And I'm always thinking of you when I hear, you know what song it is, don't you?
It could be many things. Either the bass CD that we used to jam to in the car. It could be Two in a Room, Wiggle It.
The one song. What was your song with BT? I don't want to say the name because I don't know. You know, she might be out there. Do you remember?
Oh, my goodness.
Putting you on the spot.
I know. You know what? I actually didn't even think about that. You know, I'm going on 50 and my memory's horrible.
We'll both come up with the name of the song by the end of the show, right?
Was it Firehouse?
No, it wasn't Firehouse. It was the one slow band. It wasn't Escape. We'll think of it anyway. This is what happens when you can't think of
regular
songs that you used to know what they were.
Well, it wasn't that relationship. I was actually thinking of my first high school sweetheart, which not too many people are very fond of these days. my old DJ buddy said, I don't know what you were thinking about, but to be honest, it was really weird that song that her and I used to go to was Jody Watley's Friends, if you can believe that. It was 1989 at Highland Springs, and it was my high school sweetheart. That was a song that anytime that came on, we just, I don't know, kind of connected us there. But I'm really curious if I can access that file for that relationship with the BT initials.
So my young brain thought of it.
Oh,
it,
yeah?
Yeah, yeah. It's More Than Words by Extreme. Remember that song?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. We used to sing that word for word. You know what? I think you've just trumped me because, forgive me for using that word trump. I don't want to offend nobody. Yes, More Than Words. I'd have to take that one over Jody Watley Friends. That was more meaningful. Good call.
Well, you know, Friends is still a good song too. And, you know, I just happen to have the first three albums by Jody Watley still on vinyls. I don't have Extreme, so I can't listen to that one. But every time I hear that song, I think about you and BT. And we were in the same clique. What do we call ourselves?
23075. We were the 90210 of Richmond.
Yeah, exactly. We're 23075.
We really were.
let's talk about concert. If you remember your first concert, because we couldn't even remember the More Than Words by Extreme. If you can't remember your first concert, what's the first concert you do remember?
So the first concert, I do actually remember this. I'm just quite not sure of the location. I'm thinking it was around 1989, and I believe it was King's Dominion. They hosted a Gloria Estefan concert. I saw her live at an amusement park. I think it was King's Dominion. She was playing Rhythm's Gonna Get You. Man, I got to tell you what, I fell in love with that lady right there.
Oh, man, Gloria Estefan. That must have been a good show. King's Dominion had some great shows back in the day. I don't know if they're still doing any shows. I think it was the Dogwood Amphitheater over there that they used to do shows at. Was she with Miami Sound Machine, or was she just by herself, or you don't remember?
She was with Miami Sound Machine. Yeah, play, they did Conga, Rhythm's Gonna Get You. I mean, all the songs that you used to sing to by Gloria Estefan before her accident. And no, it was back when she was hot.
You trumped me because I don't think I've ever seen Gloria Estefan in concert, but I would definitely want to see her. She was hot. She still is hot, you know.
Oh, I'm sure. Did she go off and marry a drummer or something?
I'm not sure. I want to say she married one of the Sound Machine, but I'm not sure. We'd have to, you know, with our old brains, we'd have to Google that or, you know, Wikipedia or something.
Mm-hmm. Thank God for the internet.
Exactly. And right in the palm of your hand, too, so you can just look it up and see who it is and what she did and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. That was my first, but you didn't ask me my favorite. My favorite concert was AC/DC in the Richmond Coliseum. And when they did the 21-gun salute, I thought the ceiling was coming down. It was so loud.
Now, man, as many rock shows as I've seen, too, I've never seen AC/DC.
I think Poison opened up for him, if I'm correct. No, that was a Poison David Lee Roth concert I saw. CeCe fell on his butt for that one. But, man, AC/DC was, they were loud, and that cannon going off inside that closed Coliseum, I mean, it shook you to the bone. It was so loud.
Now, the Richmond Coliseum, they're no longer even open. They're closed, and actually, if you watch the Walking Dead, the new World Beyond, the last season, they were, you know, they've been filming all over Richmond. They actually, I think for season two, filmed at Maymont Park, but they filmed outside of the Richmond Coliseum. So that shows you what that place looks like now. But such great shows there. I saw Poison and Tesla. That was my first show, so I saw Poison as well.
Poison did they had a great show. It was a lot of fun, to be honest with you. A lot of hot girls too. Man, there's a lot of women that go to see Poison.
Well, and that was back in the day when they would do rock shows and they would do like the guitar solo and the drum solo. They don't do that anymore. They are writing the music. They don't, unless it's a really huge band, they don't really pause that much. Like when I went and saw Van Halen, of course, Eddie, you know, they had one for him. Everybody in the place was standing up, you know, for his guitar solo.
Yeah, I remember when we went to Virginia Beach and Tommy Lee had just started doing the whole drum thing. Oh, we thought that was the coolest thing we'd ever seen in our lifetime.
Yeah, man. Tommy Lee on the drums, that was so cool. I met him one time when I worked at Q94 when he was dating Heather Locklear. And I remember asking about Heather Locklear because, remember, you know, she was on a couple shows. She was really hot. And I said, how's she doing? She's all, she's doing good.
That's awesome.
Tommy Lee.
Like,
man.
You knew him. Hey, Tommy, how's Heather doing?
how's Heather? What's up with Heather? What's she been doing? Like, you know, like I was talking to him like I just talked to him last Tuesday or something.
Yeah.
We want to talk about musical purchases. What was your first music purchase that you remember? You know, was it vinyl, tape, CD, stream? It's probably going to be vinyl for you, I would suppose.
Well, I didn't get into vinyl actually till after I graduated high school, and that was out in California when I actually learned how to beat mix on a set of Technique 1200s in a nightclub in San Diego. But my first music purchase would have been, you're going to laugh, actually, I don't think you even know this story. My dad will confirm this if he ever hears this show. So I was 10 years old, living in Bucyrus, Ohio. My dad's a pastor, just to paint this picture. And somehow, I acquired an Aerosmith cassette. I five-finger discounted an Aerosmith cassette. My dad caught me. He found it in my room, wanted to know how I got it, because we weren't allowed to have, you know, regular music. We weren't allowed to have secular stuff. In fact, if I was listening to, like, Ann Murray in my bedroom, he would tell me if I was going to listen to that stuff, I had to listen to it with my door shut. That was how, you know, tough it was. So I had this, all of a sudden, I had this Aerosmith cassette, and he confronted me about it, took me back to the store, and actually made me purchase it. Apologized to the store owner, and I had to buy that tape. So my first purchase was a 10-year-old boy being taken back to the store to purchase this cassette.
What cassette was it? Do you remember what the name of it was, or what Aerosmith wanted? You just remember it was Aerosmith. You don't remember what cassette it was?
I can almost see the jacket. You know, the cassette tapes used to have the little paper jackets you could pull out and unfold them and have all the lyrics of all the songs. I couldn't tell you what cassette it was. I don't know. Name one or two of their albums.
Oh, I don't know, man. Toys in the Attic.
I know, right? No.
Was it the red? You know, because that was the greatest hits. It was the red one. It was the greatest hits.
I believe it was a red. I think the insert was a red, some red, you know, like artwork on it or something.
We probably have people screaming at us right now. It's that cassette. That's what it is. Guys are fools.
I know, right?
You know, tail end of your story talking about that, you know, just reminds me of being on a bus, you know, a church bus with the youth group and somebody in the back of the bus pulling out the cassette tape of Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction, you know, with the cross on it and everything. Speaking of having a cassette on the church bus that you shouldn't have, I mean, that was probably one of the top ones there. But I don't think Aerosmith did you too wrong.
You know, the first question you asked me about, you know, welcoming me to the show and my history in music, I touched briefly that back in the 80s, I was that backseat of the bus DJ, and I used to make those 80s hairband rock tapes. You know, you got to wait till the radio announcer finishes his radio line, and then you hit the record button, so you're not getting any of those, you know, top-of-the-hour liners that they did, and then try to stop it before he starts talking again at the end of the song. And it was just one rock song after another on a boombox, like 8 D-cell batteries, speakers facing forward, and the bus driver not once ever told me, turn it down, turn it off, nothing. I was DJing in the back of the bus in, like, middle school, you know?
They don't know the struggle is real when you used to listen to the radio and try to listen to your favorite song, because, you know, your mom wouldn't give you any money to buy a record. So you'd be sitting there like waiting for the next record to come on, like listening to the top 5 or 10 or whatever it was, you know, in your neighborhood, and trying to record that song coming on. And it's like, DJ, don't talk over. Why are you talking over it? You know, and it would mess it up.
Yeah.
It was like, I want this song, I want the whole song without you talking over the damn thing.
Yeah. Why do you got to talk the first 30 seconds of the song, you know? And then once it's over, you hope the next song isn't a good one so that you can pause it, wind the tape back just a little bit so that you can hit record again. And then, you know, back then that was seamless. There was no dead air. But if you went back and listened to those tapes now, you'd be like, wow, that was horrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's all we had. It's like that, you know, your mom wouldn't give you. It was like you could get a 99-cent 45 or $1.49, but you couldn't get $1.49 out of your mom, or even a dollar to buy, much less an album, which was like $7.99 or $8.99. Cassettes were probably a little cheaper, $5.99, $6.99. And so, like, this is what we did. We'd stay at, you know, listen to the radio and try to get the song. Don't talk over it. Don't play any songs. Don't mix the thing. Just, you know, kind of fade it out and let it fade out. So you'd have like a perfect, you know, kind of tape you could give to your girl or whoever. And somebody would even give you, you know, sometimes they'd give you money for a mixtape, you know.
Yeah. You actually had two jobs that I was always envious of. Q94, actually, man, that's a job to have right there, you know. But didn't you work at a record store too or something in the mall?
Sam Goody. I worked at Sam Goody. Yeah. Goody got it. I worked at the one at Eastgate Mall, and it became Fairfield Commons. They took out the old Gary's music and put in Sam Goody. But before I was there, I was over at Regency Square Mall at the Sam Goody out there. So yeah, I worked at the Sam Goody. And then Q94, right out, you know, we were both in high school, both at the Votech doing radio together, got a job working with them doing research, and then got on the radio, and I thought I was hot stuff, man.
Oh, you were hot stuff, man. Well, other you and Billy, I mean, Billy had the greatest 5 o'clock top of the hour sound clip I've ever heard in my lifetime. In fact, if I could get that without his name in it, I'd love to have that. Man, I couldn't keep up with you. You would come in with promo music and stuff that I hadn't heard of before, and you're like, dude, check this out. This song is hot. And sure enough, it would be hot on the radio like the next month. But you were getting stuff before I think the radio was even playing it. You were definitely the go-to for the music.
Yeah, we had a whole prize closet. So if you were in promotions, you'd go in there. Or if we did a movie or whatever, we could get, you know, T-shirts and CDs and all that stuff. But Billy Cerf, and he had the drop. The drop was because he did nights for Q94. Billy had left, and I, Madman Paulie Madison was on the radio, and I came on after Madman Johnny Bravo, and then Kirby Carmichael came on. But Billy's drop was, when the sun goes down, the surf comes in.
Yeah, and then it actually changed over to like a factory horn blowing, and then there was something from like the Flintstones, and all about, you know, like clocking out at 5 o'clock or whatever it was, and now it's time for music. It was super cool. I just remember, like, man, I'd love to have that.
Yeah, he had clapping and screaming at the end of it, you know, after they would say that part, all that clapping and screaming, like he invited like his mom and his brother and like his family into the studio, and they were up and jumping up and down doing the clapping and stuff so he could record that for that bit. So that's a little information that people probably didn't know if they ever listened to Billy. At the very end of that, it was a lot of clapping and screaming and whatnot.
It was what, Virginia Beach in Richmond and then back to Virginia Beach?
I think he was actually D.C. I think he was up at Z104 up in D.C. and then came down and did radio down here at Q94. I met him doing research and then got to be fast friends and showed him kind of around Richmond. And we kind of hung out and got him all what he needed to know and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, Billy Surf, man.
Well, you and Billy were FM cool. I was AM cool, I think, for about a hot minute, but that was it.
Yeah, we did the radio. We did, you know, we made our rounds. So we've been around, you know, clubs and radio and, you know, skating rinks. I went on a cruise ship. We've done all kinds of things.
I do remember that now. You were actually tearing it up on a cruise ship for quite a while.
Yeah, on Carnival Cruise Lines, DJing for a while. I was Johnny Lee on Carnival Cruise Lines as well. So out there, back and forth to the Bahamas, Freeport, Nassau, two cruises a week.
It's tough.
Yeah, tough life. You know, had the electricity discotheque, playing Hip Hop Array, and you had all the neon in the thing, and I could make the the lights go from one side to the other. So whenever they would go, hey, ho, I would do the music one side and the other side. I thought it was hot stuff, man.
That is hot stuff.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. We are back. I'm Johnny Bravo. You're going under the musical influence of today's guest, Brian Gifford. I know him as Brian T on Under the Influence with DJ Johnny Bravo. All right, Brian, we're into it now, man. We've been thinking about it all night. I know out of all the millions of songs that you've listened to that we've played over laps of our lives, man, can you narrow it down to one? Can you tell me what's your favorite song by an artist or a band or a group? I sit here, paint the picture, give me a short story. This might be a long story.
Well, I mean, would you accept the answer, Fraggle Rock?
Fraggle Rock? What in the world?
I'm just kidding. Oh, man, Fraggle Rock. So in here in Ohio, my brothers owned a nightclub, and every night, every single, and this is not my favorite. I just have to paint this picture for you real quick. But Fraggle Rock, every night, at the end of the night, to get them out of the club, we played Fraggle Rock. And it actually got to the point where if we didn't play it, they were requesting it. But man, I'm a Gemini. And to be in radio, and I think about the different decades, you know, like in the 80s, my favorite song probably was something like Quiet Riot, Come On, Feel the Noise. And in the 90s, it was probably Fantastic Voyage, you know, at Club Twister. I couldn't wait for them to play that song. You remember Twister?
Twister, and then it became Have a Nice Day Cafe. Was that the one, or is that a different one?
Couldn't tell you, because after that, I joined the military. After I graduated, I was, you know, we did college for a quick minute, but then I went out to San Diego. But
the Flood Zone became Have a Nice Day Cafe. Twisters was another place we used to go to, and you weren't around at this time. We used to go to a club called Newgate Prison, and that was where now the VCU police are there. But that was a place called Newgate Prison, and it was an underage club that we would go to.
Oh, there. Wow.
And I won't tell you what we did to get in before we went in there.
Yeah, I remember going to a club after I got back from boot camp, standing in line. I think you were with me. I feel like maybe you guys were with me, and met this girl. I remember she was in a blue dress, and we were standing in line. And as you come up to the top of the ramp, there was like a school bus hanging from the ceiling or something. Yeah, I can't hardly remember the name of that club. The Flood Zone. Didn't Oingo Boingo play at the Flood Zone back in the day?
Yeah, there was a lot of bands. I don't know if I went. I went to see Fighting Gravity there. I know I saw Fighting Gravity there, but like there was a bunch of bands that came through the Flood Zone back in the day. I don't even remember who came through there, but a lot of, you know, Dave Matthews came through there.
Oh, wow. And they probably weren't nearly as big as they are now, or 5 or 10 years ago. It was back in the 90s. Answer your question. I figured this was going to come up sometime. So I've narrowed it down. You know, you got these hot bands. And for me, it's always been Queen. You know, I love Queen. I think Queen was great. When the movie came out, I learned actually a lot about Queen that I didn't know. You were always the history buff as far as bands and members and bands still together and breaking up and things like that. So for me to get into the history of Queen, I didn't know. So I'm hoping the movie's accurate. But Radio Gaga, for me, actually, after I heard it in the movie, it's one of those go-tos that I've got to play at pretty much all my gigs. If I'm setting up or tearing down or if it's requested, I try to play that song at every gig. It's just where I'm at right now. Radio Gaga from Queen is a hot song for me.
Yeah, I mean, I still watch everything I can get my hand on as far as, you know, if it's like VH1 Behind the Music or if it's classic albums, you know, any kind of documentary on music, I'm there. I'll watch it on Queen. My favorite song by Queen that I had on a 45 was Another One Bites the Dust. I wore that thing out.
Oh man, I can remember that too. And that was one of those albums that my dad said did not want in the house. You know, at that time the church was just figuring out that if you played it backwards, and I actually did it. I did it to see if I could understand it. But if you played it backwards, it supposedly says it's fun to smoke marijuana. I seem to remember it saying that, so you might have to try that sometime if you've never done it.
If you Wikipedia it, if you look at that song on Wikipedia, it does say that. It does say
does
what
it?
You, yeah, it says exactly what you just said. You can Wikipedia that song, and it will say that about that song. It does.
Huh. One of those albums that was not allowed, and I had it.
Well, hey, you got to have a Queen record. Fraggle Rock, though, that's the ultimate there.
You probably never saw that coming. Fraggle Rock. I mean, that.
Oh, man, no.
That's awesome.
I wouldn't have picked that one for you. I worked on, you know, talking about AM, I worked on an AM station, WXGI, because it was owned by two XGIs. And it was AM, supposedly where Loretta Lynn came in at one point in her life and pushed her record, you know, Coal Miner's Daughter, with her husband back in the day. But I would get off that radio, and you'd always have, you know, on a radio, you would always have a song that you played at the end, or you would try to. And mine was Big Bad John.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I would play that record. Not that that's my favorite, but I don't know if I could pick a favorite. All right, so we got your favorite songs, and we got it by genre and also, you know, by Fraggle Rock, the Muppets.
It wasn't the Muppets. What were those things?
They were Muppets. They, Jim Henson Muppets. He made that show.
Fraggle Rock?
Yeah.
Oh, they were like not the Muppets. Not like Kermit and Miss Piggy and not that.
Yeah,
these guys were like hairy, underground, kind of goofy, like a creepy kind of Muppets.
When it pops up, it says Jim Henson.
Seriously?
I'm not lying to you. It says Jim Henson. I'm not lying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Jim Henson.
I had no idea.
Fraggle Rock.
Same guy that did the Muppets is doing Fraggle Rock?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no clue.
Yeah, Nat, see, you learned something.
See, I got the equipment. You got the knowledge and the music. So yeah,
Fraggle Rock. That's awesome. All right, so your band. Now, what's your favorite band?
So that's a toss-up. You know, I've been talking about Michael Jackson pretty much this whole time. So for me, Michael Jackson's the end-all entertainer. It sucked when he passed. Along with Michael Jackson, I'm a big fan of Prince. Do you remember back in Columbia House? You remember Columbia House, the CD subscriptions?
Was it 12 albums for a penny or something like that? And then you'd have to order one or three in the next year or something?
Yeah, order three over the next year or two. Yeah, I think it was three over the next year. Yep.
And then you'd go broke because you'd order like so many because then you saw so many that you wanted after the free eight or the free 12 or whatever it was.
So for me, that's where my first Michael Jackson CD come from, and Prince. Prince is another one of my favorites. And that's hard. I can't go Michael Jackson or Prince. It's both. I had a pretty large vinyl collection that I sold. Somebody's very fortunate to having that now that had some Michael Jackson and Prince in it. And I got to be honest, I've actually replaced those albums since then. Picked up some others that I didn't have. These albums that I'm picking up now, these aren't like your, you know, $15.99 album, 12-inch vinyls. These are like $50, like limited prints I'm paying like $50 an album now for vinyl.
Records are not, vinyl's not cheap. I paid $100 for original Snoop Dogg, Doggy Style, not too long ago.
Oh, I believe it. That's a great album, actually.
I mean, I had to pay $100. I paid $100 for, just don't tell my wife. Hopefully she's not listening. I paid $100 for Metallica. What's the red one? I can't think of it. Not Injustice for All. I had that one already.
I got a stack of vinyl over there. It's probably worth more than that entire album collection that I sold for, what was it, $500? Something like that.
It was four. I think I paid $400.
Was it four? Yeah, probably. Michael Jackson and Prince. Those are my favorites. I'm a big Weird Al fan, though, too. Weird Al, for me, back in the day, he was a mastermind.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't give him enough credit. They basically think, you know, hey, he just basically ripped people off. But he had to come up with all that lyrics and all the kind of stuff, you know. I mean, he had, instead of Beat It, he had Eat It. I mean, he had a bunch of hit records.
To see him in concert, was kind of a letdown. Another amusement park thing. I don't remember if it was Ohio or Virginia or where I saw it. It might have been California when I was out there. I saw him in concert, and it was kind of a letdown. But to listen to his music, like, recorded, perfected, it's actually, you know, it's genius. So I give him some credit. Not a favorite, just one of those, like, you want to change some stuff up, grab some Weird Al.
Yeah, I recently saw him. We do some, you know, raising money, fundraising for my daughter for roller skating, and we were doing some stuff out at the racetrack. They still have a place out there. It's called the Virginia Credit Union Live now. It was called something, I think it was called Strawberry Hill or something back in the day. But Weird Al came out there, and so I got a chance to see him, and it was neat to see him. But yeah, I mean, for some people, still got the nostalgia, but I was just like, okay, you know, here we are.
Yeah.
So that name of that record is Master of Puppets, but don't tell my
Master
wife.
Master of Puppets?
Yeah. Master of Puppets, that was Metallica. Quick story about MJ and Prince. MJ wanted Prince to be on his record, and it was bad. Prince was basically, they were going to be on that one where he's like, you know, talking about touching his butt or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Prince was like, I'm not, who's singing that lyric, you know, where it says your butt is mine. He's like, mm-hmm. who's singing that lyric? And he's like, you are, Prince. And Prince is like, I'm not singing that lyric. They got Prince and Michael Jackson into a fight because, you know, I guess he didn't star on Bad, and they ended up having some animosity after that.
Wow. So let's roll back a little bit to a Poison. I hope you don't disown me for this, but I actually just, where we're talking about purchasing albums, I actually just sold a signed by all the members, all four members of Poison. I just sold that Open Up and Say Ah with the Band U.S. cover, you know, the long tongue. I know, right? Why are they going to ban that with how much they allow to get away with these days? But anyways, that album, I had two of them, two signed albums. One was signed by Brett, the other was signed by all four members for $350. Or two signed autograph albums.
I think I have the Band cover, but I think it's like a German pressing or something that I picked up. But you look at those nowadays and you show people and they're like, why was this even banned? And we thought the same thing back then, but it's a girl looking like a demon or a snake, mm-hmm. or something. It has mm-hmm. a long tongue, and they banned it. Bon Jovi had a Band record, you know, with the Slippery When Wet. They had, you know, the wet t-shirt on the front, and they banned that. I mean, you could kind of see why they banned that, but the tongue was just, it's kind of stupid.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know that Bon Jovi's album art was banned.
Yeah, they had the new cover for Slippery When Wet.
The road sign?
Well, not the road sign. They used some kind of bag or whatever with, you know, water or something, you know, to make that cover. But it was a wet t-shirt is what it was. All right, you ready? It's the big finale.
Let's do it.
Here we go. How has music impacted your life?
Oh, man. A whole life of music. If you think about that, I mean, it really has been from the second grade to the back of the bus to, that sounded bad, didn't it? Anyways, back of the bus DJ to high school dances to nightclubs and bars to, oh my gosh, radio, skating rinks like you talked about to where I'm at today. I can remember my mom telling me just shortly out of high school, what are you ever going to do with music? It's never going to be enough to support you. Like, you know, just couldn't, we were so iffy. You know, like, what are we going to do? I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life, whether I was going to go to college, you know, kind of joined the military out of the blue while they're in Ohio on vacation. I'm in Richmond. They come back. I said, I joined the military only because my recruiter told me that each ship's got its own radio station and I could be a DJ on board of a ship. So I kind of got, you know, screwed out of that deal. You know, music has led me to a very professional career, successful career. And I'm at the point now where I can choose my gigs. I don't have to depend on settling for like a small budget, long hour, big setup gig, you know, just to make some money to put some gas in my fuel tank. I still love what I do, you know, being a professional wedding DJ, do some non-formal stuff too. But man, it's just, I like the equipment. It's allowed me to evolve, you know, stay ahead of the curve, be competitive out there with other mobile DJs. Have that free, you know, that free spirit to pick and choose now what I want to do. It's, for me, I mean, I'm pulling a DJ trailer with a Hummer. I'll see that a lot.
And you talk about being jealous. Like, Brian's got this Hummer, and it's white, and it's all decked out. Snag a DJ. Right across it. I'm like, dude, what in the what?
It doesn't move. Well, there's two reasons it doesn't move. Because we don't pass too many gas stations. We took the original factory 5-cylinder out and put a big LS V8 engine in it. So it makes some noise. You know, it's definitely a head turner. But it doesn't move unless it's going to a gig. You know, that newness of having a Hummer is kind of worn off. So when it goes out, you know, it's clean. It's got, you know, big wheels and tires and it's pulling a trailer. And yeah, it's a snag sponsors. If you, I don't know if there's actually pictures on bangadj.com. I've got sponsors all over it now. To be a professional wedding DJ with sponsors.
I was telling my buddy, I was like, I'm going to have to see if I can, you know, get like a logo on the side of Brian's Snag a DJ truck. His Hummer.
Oh, Under the Influence?
Yeah, man.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. You send me the logo. I'll put it on there. How's that? We won't even need a sponsorship fee. We'll just promote for you in Ohio.
There you go. So you could, I'd be all over Ohio. Be like, look for the Snag a DJ and then scan my scannable friend. You can get to the
podcast.
I'll
tell you what. I'll do this for you. Make it a, you seen the windshield visors that they put on there, right? Like Jeep will have a, one that goes across the window. It says Jeep, or Dodge says Dodge. You know what I'm talking about?
I think so, yeah.
Make me one that's big enough to go across the front of the windshield, and we'll put Under the Influence right there on the front windshield. How's that?
Sounds like a plan. Sounds like a plan. What does your mom say now, man, about your music? Does she say anything? Have you reminded her of that conversation or no?
So, you know, mom's always been involved with us. I can remember a couple times where mom came along with us on nights out, you know, where we were going out to the club or something. We dragged mom on. Mom's cool. Mom's an icebreaker. She gets on the dance floor before any of us because we're too scared to. She's been out. She's seen the system grow and grow and grow, and she's actually out there pushing. I think she's pimping me out. You can tell mom's proud. She's seen the business take off and got bigger, and she knows I'm busy every single week, and she'll come down. I'm sitting at the desk now in front of the computer. I got my readers on because I can't see, and I'm typing up agreements or itineraries, putting together my library for the next wedding. She's like, what you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm working on another wedding. Oh, you got another wedding? I'm like, mom, I'm booked out through the rest of the year every single weekend. And into 2022 and 2023, I've got a couple booked for 2023 already. She's like, are you serious?
Yeah, and you will travel in that Hummer too. You went down to Florida recently. You went down there for a DJ gig. I think it was a wedding.
Yeah,
so
actually,
you'll travel far.
It was my first time ever in Florida, and some people will be like, well, you've not really experienced Florida, because we were right inside the Georgia-Florida line. Fernandina Beach actually is where it was at. Very nice. Yeah, we traveled to Florida to do a wedding. We've been to Charlotte, North Carolina, Pittsburgh, Michigan, Indiana. Just had a lady actually from Missouri call me and ask me if I would be willing to come out there. I'm like, ooh, yeah, but, you know, it's going to be super expensive, so I wouldn't recommend that. I was willing to go. Definitely, we'll travel. I actually traveled. So here's an experience. I don't know if I ever told you about this. I actually got hired by a company here in Ohio. It was back when Tough Mudder just started its thing. You know, Tough Mudder just started getting bigger. They've got Warrior Dash too. You might have heard of that. But Tough Mudder was having an event at Devil's Head Ski Resort up in Wisconsin. I didn't have to take any equipment. I took my laptop. Flew me to the ski resort for the event. I was the DJ at the finish line. I was the MC for the costume contest. Paid for my hotel, my food, and my drinks. And $500 on top of it. I thought I was a big deal. I was like in front of 50,000 people dressed up to do this Tough Mudder run, and I'm being flown out to DJ it. It was super cool, super sweet.
Well, man, I'm proud of you, you know, from back in the day and you twisting my arm to get into this DJ thing. I mean, you went on that whole tirade of talking about all this cool stuff. Never once did you mention that we would have never hooked up, man, if it wouldn't have been for this love of music that we both have. And you really can't explain it to people when they say, you know, I collect vinyl, I listen to music, or I DJ, or I do this kind of thing, I sing, I'm in a band or whatever. They really just don't understand the love that we have of music and the camaraderie that we have. And just, you know, starting off doing those $50 parties, and now we're being flown out to places to do events, and, you know, now we're like the resident experts, and people are like, you know, that guy knows all about the history of music and has all these records, and this guy knows about playing music and how to mix 8 songs in a minute and all this kind of stuff. And his mom said it would never amount to anything. But here we are. I'm not going to say how many years later, but from being, you know, 18-year-old kids, and we're still doing this thing. And, yeah. I mean, it's just awesome, man. It's just, you know, we would have never met one another without this thing, you know, we call radio and DJing and podcasting and whatever, you know, that we're doing recently, because of the love that we have for music. So that's just awesome, man.
I believe I remember the classroom because we sat side by side, and I think it was like social studies, and I'm over here hustling to take notes and falling behind because I can't keep up with the teacher on the chalkboard. And I look over, and dude, you're writing You're taking class notes and your eyes are closed. You're sleeping. I swear you were snoring and you're taking perfect notes. I'm like, what in the world? So I think it all started from that conversation. I'm like, how are you doing that, man? Like, are you passing this class?
Wasn't that Coach Stokes? Did we have Stokes? Was that who it was?
I don't remember, but I specifically remember sitting next to you. You were sleeping, taking notes, and I'm like, I'm falling behind personally. Who is this guy?
I just remember you waking me up, and I was all groggy, and I'm like, who is this dude waking me up? I'm napping. I'm taking my notes. It's history class. I don't need to be bothered. And I'm glad you bothered me because we've had a long haul. You know, before we got on this podcast, before we started recording, Brian and I have this story. I don't know. Do you want me to tell it or do you want to tell it about the incident in the
WHCE? Let me tell my part, and then and before the reveal, I'll let you reveal
okay.
what happened.
Okay. All
so
right.
So here's the picture. Here's two high school students on a high school radio station. And it's top of the hour. It's time to do the news. It's serious. You're playing the radio station ID. You know, there's no dead air. It's time to go to work. I'm running the board. And our board consists of knobs. You had to turn a knob, turn the volume up. It wasn't sliders. They were knobs. And we were using carts that looked like 8-tracks. So you had to pop in a cart for the liner, turn the knob up for the microphone. We're getting ready. We're starting. I'm introducing the radio station. I'm getting ready to introduce my partner, Johnny Lee, to do the news. And I'm getting this tap on my shoulder. I'm focused. I got my eyes forward. He's sitting to my right. He's tapping me on the shoulder. I'm still looking forward. He keeps tapping. I finally look over. And here you go, Johnny. Go ahead. Tell him what happened.
I had to turn the mic off because I'm laughing the whole time. And I think I was laughing that day. But I couldn't laugh because like we were getting ready to go live. So it's like, you have to be quiet because it's like you're recording and you got all this kind of stuff going on. And right. We're real serious because we're live. I mean,
we are live on air.
Actual radio station on the FM dial is 91.1 WHCE, and HCE stands for Henrico County Education. And Brian's like being all serious. You know, this is for a grade. I'm sitting there. I had just snotted a little bit because it was probably winter time. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe that's just the excuse that I'm making up right now. And he's all serious. I'm getting ready to do the news. I thought you were doing the news. Maybe I was doing the news. I don't know. And
I'm in front of the board and you're sitting to my, I don't know. Maybe no, I was in front of the board and you're sitting to my right.
So I was doing the news.
I didn't have my eyes on you. You were off my right shoulder.
Yeah, you were being all studious and all like business because you all about the equipment. Yeah. Brian, if you know anything about Brian, he loves the equipment. He loves tearing equipment apart. He loves putting it back together again. If there's problems with the equipment, you call Brian. If you don't know what's going on with some kind of equipment, you call Brian. Brian knows all about the equipment. He would be doing lights on equipment and making it fancy and whatever, I mean, about the equipment. So he's all focused on the equipment. He's not looking at me whatsoever. And maybe it's because you weren't looking at me. Maybe it was because you're being so serious. I don't know. But I snotted a little bit, had a big green booger on at the end of my nose, and I point to this big green booger. And serious guy loses it all over the studio.
Oh my God.
We both lost it.
I couldn't recover.
Adam Stubbs comes in there, is like,
it wasn't just a big green. It was like you got hit by what's the green Slimer on Ghostbusters. Oh, I mean, man. It was literally like that, like hanging from your nose.
We had a room directly behind us that had all the equipment in there. We had to run in that room and close the door because we were laughing.
Oh.
Adam Stubbs, that used to be on the radio when it was 98.1, Light 98. He was on the radio. He was our teacher. He came in there. I think he was even cursing
at us. XO-102 as well.
XO-102, yeah, he was on a bunch of radio. I think he even cursed at us. Like, I think, you know, I don't, maybe he didn't. Maybe I'm making that up. But he was so bad at us. I don't think we were allowed back in the studio for like a long time.
Said, you guys are done. You're not allowed back on air for like, I think he yelled like, you're not allowed back on air for a month. The only ones that would get on the station were back on the next day after he said he wasn't going to cover us.
Exactly. The thing about it is that they had no one to run the station, so we were back on like pretty much immediately. But it was so funny. Oh, man.
91.1 should have gone from just playing today's favorites to Brian T and Johnny Lee talk show because it would have been hysterical.
We would have had so much fun, but Stubbs kept us away, and that's okay, too. We've moved on to bigger and better things, or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe we're still looking at green boogers.
He was cool.
Yeah, he was definitely cool. Anything to add, Brian?
No, I was actually wondering if you were going to bring that up. So I'm kind of glad you did, because it's always good to laugh. And I'll tell you what, when you laugh like that, you're laughing from your gut. It was actually genuine. So we'll probably laugh about that till the day we die.
Oh, we'll know that story forever. We'll be sitting there as two old men in the rocking chair, still rocking and rolling. You know what I'm saying? And we'll be laughing, and probably we'll be snotting on ourselves then, so it won't even be funny, because we'll actually just be snotting on one another.
Now, I've been trying to get a reason to come back to Richmond Highland Springs to and pull the trailer. Well, now that I got a Hummer, we really need to, like, redo a Brian T. Johnny Lee production prom. Like, if you can hook that up, get a hold of somebody at the prom committee. I'm sure whoever's doing it now is doing a great job, but that would be a great time to reminisce like that.
Well, it's a brand new podcast. I don't know if we're going to have any listeners, but if we have any listeners, if somebody out there wants to do a party and wants Brian to do it and wants the duo to get back together, Brian T and Johnny Lee Productions, you know, we'll definitely do it. We'll bring the Hummer out. It'll have the big Snag a DJ logo on there, bring out the equipment, and man, we won't throw snot on you, but we'll definitely throw some jams on you.
Actually, if anybody's listening, we might just have to discount the price that they bring up that they heard this on the podcast. If they cover the fuel and maybe a hotel, we might just end up doing it for free if it's a big enough event.
Well, don't give it away. Now they think we're big time. We got this podcast, we got to pay for this thing, so maybe they'll give us a little bit
of
money.
True. Okay, we can't do it for free, so we'll negotiate. I'd like to do it big time. Come out to Richmond or Highland Springs, do something big time. Don't have the Circuit City Onkyo receiver and the realistic back of a car boombox anymore. It's big stuff.
I still have the Onkyo.
The Onkyo almost never existed, because I remember a guy got super, super upset over a penny.
It was 2 cents, man. We got an even exchange on that thing, and you were so mad because the other one didn't work, and you were like, you said it was going to be even exchange. I said, just give the guy the 2 cents, and you wouldn't do it. I threw two cents up there, and we left, and you were so mad at me for paying 2 cents for that thing because the guy
couldn't figure it out.
I still got that Onkyo. Man, it's hooked up to my turntable right now.
It works.
Yeah, I bought another Onkyo. I got one in the bedroom that's hooked up to the turntable, and I got another one in the living room hooked up to an Onkyo. They're both Onkyo, I think.
Wow.
And I think I actually might have a third one somewhere. That was a good unit, man.
They were top of line back in the day.
Yeah, we only had to pay 2 cents, but Brian wouldn't give his 2 cents for that.
But we did, and you still got it.
I'm glad too, because it's been a good mixer. I still have the realistic, but it's been in the garage, so it probably doesn't work as good, you know.
Stepped into the 21st century and got you a DJ controller and not the realistic mixer from back in the day.
We wore that little realistic out, man. People don't know what it's like to not have a Radio Shack. Radio Shack was the bomb.
Radio Shack was the bomb.
Couldn't get you out of there. You would spend so much time looking at freaking cords and stuff. I'm like, microphone. We got enough cords, man. Let's go. We got a party to do. Let's get out of here. And then talking about boom boxes, you were always, you know, getting rid of the boom boxes right before we had a party. I'm like, Brian, what are we going to do for speakers for the party? You got rid of the boom box.
Speaker box. I pulled a speaker box out of the trunk of the car. Remember that?
Normally, right before a party, you'd roll over to some guy and say, hey, got this speaker box, $100, and sell the speakers. And we went out for speakers to do the freaking party.
We'd be
speakerless. Brian's got all the equipment now. He's not going to sell it to you. He's going to use it. So if you have a gig, you know, give us a ring. We'll come out and we'll do the reunited, play that.
We're not, just so everybody's, obviously you don't pull speaker boxes with Hummers. So, and then I'm not trying to boast at all here, but we're not using, you know, car stereo speaker boxes for speakers. And the Bose F1 system, that's a $5,000 system. DKS speakers, that's a $5,000 system. Yeah, we're definitely rocking it the way it's supposed to be done now.
We're big time. We're big. We can't even get our heads through the doors nowadays. We're big time.
That's right.
We're definitely big time. Well, thanks for being here, Brian. I really do appreciate it being here. Thanks for going under the musical influence of Brian Gifford, Brian T, and Johnny Lee Productions. No, I'm just playing. We could do this for like a month. We might have to have Brian back. Maybe we can talk about some other things, maybe do something a little different with the format or whatever. So I appreciate you being here, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks for going under the musical influence of today's guest. That was Brian Gifford on Under the Influence with DJ Johnny Bravo. Also want to give a thanks to Year of October for rocking the intro and the outro, the drops. They had some rocking drops for us. We appreciate that. Sweetwater for the equipment. Go under the musical influence on Instagram at DJ Johnny Bravo _ Under the Influence. Please subscribe to Under the Influence with DJ Johnny Bravo where you listen to your podcast. I'm Johnny Bravo. I will see you next time. Goodbye. Pretty boy, don't be afraid. You got beautiful, don't be afraid.
longer under the influence with DJ Johnny Bravo. Until next week.